tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My troubles are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, I can know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a wonderful week, and I hope you're ready for an inspirational message on living without regrets. I'm going to start the show a little different today, just kind of spice things up a little bit, give some variety. So before we start today's message, I want to open us up in prayer. So if you'd like to join me at this time, please let us all bow our heads and join in union for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you on this day asking for your guidance in all matters of our life. And place a hedge of protection around each of us and our families. We live in a dangerous world, a world full of darkness, evil, and temptation. Oh, Father, please forgive us of our sins and help us to forgive others with the same measure of forgiveness that you show us. Father, we pray that you would lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil. We pray for your provision, Father, and wisdom. We pray for our hearts to be softened, to feel your presence. We pray for ears to be wide open this morning to your word. Provide us with clarity and patience. Oh, Father, please reveal yourself to us in a mighty way. Regrets come late, and by then you can't turn back the clock of time. Oh, Father, please convict us of our unrighteousness, so that we may not stray from your path, therefore finding the peace and joy abounding in you. May we choose to do the right thing, the godly thing, so that we can live the life you created us to live, so that we may live without regret. And when that time comes, when old age has set in, and it's finally time for us to leave our earthly bodies behind, we can look back on this time on earth and say, no regrets. Oh, Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for every blessing received and for protecting us from our own foolish ways and wants. In your Son Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen. So I want to thank all of you out there for joining me in this opening prayer before we get started. Here's something that I want you to think about for a moment. We don't get to choose the day we were born or the day that we die. We only have the dash between birth and death, physical, here on earth. The only thing that we can choose is how we live the time that we have between those two dates. As I said, that's called the dash, the time between. Ask yourself, are you really living, or are you just existing? Imagine being told today that you are dying. Now really take a minute to think about that. Let that really sink in for a moment. Then ask yourself, what would you do, what would you change about your life knowing that it was all going to come to an end, and very soon? Knowing time was limited, would you spend more time with your children? Your parents, your spouse, your friends, siblings, and less time working? Would the things you take for granted ignore right now become more important to you? Would you spend more time doing what you want to do and less time doing what you think you have to do? Would you spend more time loving your significant other and your children? Would you make sure that they knew what they meant to you? Would you refuse to spend any of that precious time in arguing with one another? Would you take that vacation? If you realized that time was of the essence, would you make that call to a friend or a relative that you're upset with or have been upset with and that maybe you're not even speaking to them now? Would putting it off still make sense to you? Would having peace and forgiving suddenly become more important than being right or standing your ground? What kind of memories have you made with your loved ones? How would you be remembered? would the memories of you be good ones? If your time were up soon, what memories would you purpose yourself to make now without waiting? You might be telling yourself there is still time. But here is the thing, folks. Tomorrow isn't promised to any of us. And yesterday is gone forever. Today is all we have. Don't wait until you are dying to decide to really live or to make changes in your life now that may impact you forever, for good or for bad. Life is a gift, folks. Treasure today like it is your last day, because it really could be. What do you think about what I just said? Does that ring home for any of you in the listening audience? Do you have unfinished business that you have been holding off on taking care of, making right with? Did you know that the 5 top regrets of dying are these? 1, I wish I had the courage to live a life of true to myself. The courage to live a life true to God and not living the life that others expect me to live. Or a life dictated by the things of this world. The things of this world will pass away, but the things from above, heaven, are eternal. 2, I wish I had lived my dreams. I wish I had lived according to God's word. Most people don't even honor half of their dreams and have to die knowing that the way they lived their life was due to the choices they made or that they did not make. And these choices we make in life will ultimately be faced on Judgment Day. Is our name written in God's book? Did we do all the things in life that we were meant to do? Did we live out our purpose? Do we even know what our purpose is? Did we live with joy and peace the days of our life, or did we live with torment and struggle? And 3, when we are younger, we are clueless. As we age comes wisdom, that health brings a freedom, very real, and only few realize, until we no longer have it. Now we ask ourselves, why did we abuse our bodies so much when we were younger? Why didn't we realize what would come later? Don't you wish that you could have the wisdom of a 90-year-old, the look of your youth in your 20s or 30s, and the energy of a 3-year-old? That would be awesome, wouldn't it, folks? How great that would be. But this is why it is so important to make the most of each and every day, to take good care of yourself while there is still time to do so. Things start to change with our body in the 40s and 50s and beyond that are out of our control. I wish I'd had a different attitude and a better understanding of all of this when I was younger. Perhaps I would have done things a wee bit differently. 4, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Most people in their senior years say with regret, I missed my children's youth and my partner's companionship. Perhaps now you are a widow, having lost your companion altogether. How sad, having wasted so much time on the treadmill of life and not living the life that God meant you to have. And the 5th thing that most people die regretting is, I wish I'd had the courage to have expressed my feelings more. Many people tend to suppress their feelings, thinking they are protecting themselves from the world. And as a result, many live mediocre lives and develop illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carried throughout their life. 6, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. Many people don't realize the benefits of staying close to their friends, keeping in touch. Many people become so caught up in their own lives that they let those golden friendships slip away over time. There are many deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and the effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they're gone. 7, I wish I'd let myself be happier. I wish I hadn't made the wrong choices I made. I wish I hadn't hurt all those people. I wish I had been nicer to people. I wish I had loved and helped more people. I wish I hadn't turned my back on people. I wish I hadn't given in to my temptations. I wish I hadn't cursed all the time. I wish I hadn't lived my life with so much anger, jealousy, pride, greed, bitterness, resentment, hatred, prejudice. I wish I had children because now I feel so alone. I wish. Many people don't realize that happiness is a choice. Life is about choices. Perhaps you wish you had stayed with the person you were married to, or perhaps you regret having stayed stuck in relationships or old habits or old patterns. Perhaps you long for a relationship with God, but you think that you've done so many things, too many things bad, to be accepted by God. But folks, I'm here to tell you that it's never too late. We all sin. We just all sin differently. So no matter what you've done, God is waiting for you to ask Him into your heart. Believe me, God will accept you with loving arms wide open, and the angels will rejoice at your decision. Wherever you are at in your life right now, it's not too late. 8. I wish I hadn't been afraid to try new things. The so-called comfort of the familiar overflows in our emotions, as well as our physical lives. Fear of change has us paralyzed so that reaching out and doing something different with our lives seems impossible, seems too scary. We pretend to ourselves and to others that we are content where we are, when deep within we long to laugh properly, have silliness in our lives, press forward and onward to better things in store for our lives. Think about that for a moment, folks. What are some of your biggest regrets so far? And what will you set out to achieve, to do differently from this moment on until the moment you pass from this earth as we know it? In the end, we regret the chances that we didn't take, the choices we made or that we didn't make, for good or bad, decisions we waited too long to make, relationships that we are afraid to have or mend, including having spent all or some of those days of our lives not having a solid and intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Perhaps we didn't even know Christ, and yet the day will come when we will have to give an account to God for why not. Perhaps we know God but have strayed away. Maybe we are straddling the fence between light and dark, but we know better, yet we continue to do it anyway. Most obstacles melt away. God works everything through for our greater good. Are we doing our part? Are we living in God's Word? I have regrets about my past. I have contacted different ones that I hurt in my past, and I have asked their forgiveness. I admitted that I was wrong. But you know what one of my biggest regrets is? It is the regret that I didn't live my life for Jesus much sooner in my life. I sometimes try to imagine what my life would have been like or how differently it would look today if I had only lived my life for God sooner, from the very beginning, from the time I was born up to this point. I wasn't raised up in church. I had no background knowledge. I was blessed to have met my first husband when I was 15 years old. His family was so very good to me, and they were a good Christian family, and they introduced me to church, to God. But for the first half of my life, I was in and out of relationships with God. I thought I was trying to take it seriously, but something always came up, and I allowed myself to be led astray by Satan. Some of you are very fortunate to have been raised up with Christian family from birth. And I believe that it does make it so much easier for someone to begin learning the Word of God when they are still babies. But many of you, like me, have had to learn most everything in life the hard way, by trial and error. I was a very stubborn and independent person back in those days, and I'm sure now my husband would probably still say I am, but I have mellowed out a lot through the years. People tried to advise me on different things in life, but I wouldn't listen. I thought I knew it all back in those days, but I didn't really. And then I had to learn it for myself, instead of just hearing about it from someone else. I always did seem to tend, back in those younger days, to make things harder on myself because I had to know it. I had to do it on my own. I had to find out for myself. But looking back on those younger years of my life, I also made a lot of poor choices, trying to do things in my own understanding, in my own power, instead of God's way, doing things God's according to His Word. Back then, I really didn't know better, or perhaps I just didn't think about it that much. Living as God tells us frees us from many later regrets. God knows this, and there is much to be said about this topic in the Bible. Most of us have some kind of regret. Some of us hang on to it harder and longer than others. Some of us, it still has a stronghold on us today, and maybe it's been many, many years ago, but it still has a stronghold on us that we can't seem to break. Some of these regrets may affect not only us, but other choices may affect family and friends as well. Sometimes people's choices take them or someone else to the hospital. Sometimes our choices may take us to jail. Some choices can cause you to lose a career, a marriage, a friendship. Some can cost you your very soul. And some, tragically, accidentally, or purposefully, can cause our own death. While yet other choices may lose our children, our reputation, our health, literally anything and everything in our life. Is there any way we can avoid such calamity? Of course there is. We are human and flawed, but we do serve an awesome God. And if you ask Him to come into your life, for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in you, and ask His forgiveness, it shall be done. Repent of your old ways and put on your new creation. Renew your mind. We're going to look back and see things that we wish we had done differently. Regret usually comes in two different varieties: the things we regret that we did, and the things that we regret that we didn't do. As for regretting things, some are immediately obvious. Sometimes, however, it takes time to realize that we did something wrong. Regrets generally stem from poor choices, followed by more similar poor actions or a lack of action. So how do we avoid these pitfalls? For believers, it is simple. Know and obey the law of God. God instructs us in the perfect way to live, the way that we will produce happiness and peace of mind. Living as God tells us frees us from many later regrets. God knows there are things that we should and should not do in our life in order to have a happy life. Let's take a closer look at a few of these biblical verses that can prevent or help prevent regret. If you take heed, if you listen to them, and you obey them. Obeying God's command of "you shall not commit adultery" in Exodus 20:14 could spare many marriages and families much suffering and immeasurable regret. Obeying God's command to flee from sexual immorality, 1 Corinthians 6:18, could eliminate the shame and the regret of premarital sex, such as choices and regrets that may last a lifetime and may produce an unplanned pregnancy or even an STD. In Genesis 9 and 19, the Bible shows us of some perils of drinking excessively. In Proverbs 20:1, God tells us, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Many lives may have been saved from ruin, and many problems averted if alcohol had not been abused. The Bible repeatedly cautions us to be careful in what we say. In James is just one example, and it says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Folks, choosing our words carefully can also prevent later regrets. Failing to be more diligent at work or school can lead to later regrets, as can failing to step out and try something new in our life. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, God says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might." Working diligently produces results, produces fruit, good fruit. Working hard at school for a better grade can lead to a better scholarship, and later on, hopefully a better job. Trying something new can open up new opportunities in your life. Who knows where that road might lead us? God gives us encouragement all throughout the Bible. When we seek to live according to God's laws and His way of life, He promises to help us. In Joshua 1:9, God tells us, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Throughout the Bible, God tells us, "Do not be afraid." The Bible, God's law and instruction for our life, teaches us how to live happily and avoid later regrets. The laws of God are not written to prevent us from having fun. The exact opposite is true. God does not want anyone to suffer regret from wrong or poor choices. He wants us to live happy life, a full life. That is why He gives very specific guidelines for a way of life that produces happiness and peace. You have probably heard people say, "Life doesn't come with instructions, you learn it as you go." But anyone who says that doesn't know God, doesn't know the Bible, because the Bible is the instruction manual for our lives. Just as similar to Deuteronomy 30:19, where God talks about setting before us the choice of life and death, blessings and cursings, and that He wants us to choose life. We also have the choice between a life with fewer regrets or a life that will cause many regrets. Are you pondering over the first part of today's message? As I'm going to go to a short break, this first song is "I Am Not Who I Was" by Brandon Heath.
Show you how I'm not who I was. I used to be mad at you, a little on the hurt side too, but I'm not who I was. I found my way around to forgiving you some time ago, but I never got to tell you. In a photograph, I saw me and I had to laugh. You know I'm not who I was. You were there, you were right above me, and I wonder if you ever loved me just for who I was. When the pain came back again, like a bitter friend, it was all that I could do to keep myself from blaming. it's a funny thing. I cook it out, I can sing. Now I'm not who I was. I write about love and such, maybe cause I want it so much. I'm not who I was. I was thinking maybe I should let you know. Lying not the same, but I never did forget your name. Hello. Amazing, an amazing grace is the chance to give it out. Maybe that's what love is all about. I wish you could see me now. I wish I could show you how I'm not who I was.
Never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a
welcome back, and thank you so much for joining me on the Hope Show today, and I'm so happy to be with you wherever you are today. It's such a pleasure and a great honor to have each of you tuned in every Saturday to hear the Hope Show. God works in some pretty amazing ways, doesn't He? Thank you, Jesus, for all that tune in each week. If you are just tuning in, today's message is about living without regrets. I bet every one of us out there has some regret over something in our life, and maybe more than one regret. If you have missed out on the first part of the message and you want to listen to it, or you have a friend that you think would really enjoy it, then tune in after the show is over with, and Shaziz will upload the pod to the podcast page and on Shaziz Radio. So go to that link and search the pod pages for the Hope Show Returns and scroll down there to whichever date that you're wanting to listen to. And so please, I encourage you to share my pods with all your family and your friends, co-workers. So let's get God's Word and truth out to as many people as possible. Amen? Everyone can benefit from a little encouragement and inspiration. However, I do not take any credit for the Hope Show. This is all about God's Word, God's truth. On my own power, I'm not qualified to do this show. But with God, all things are possible. And God equips the unqualified, those that He wants to use for His purpose. So let us get back into today's message. So what do you think the best way to live life without regret would be? Here are some few suggestions that I came up with. Choose to live in such a way that you do your best at every task, every situation, circumstance, and relationship. Choose to trust God in every area of your life, every decision, every choice, every opportunity that He sends your way. Choose to obey God and keep His commandments. Choose to forgive others fully and freely. Choose to pursue what God reveals to you as His path for you to follow. Choose to treat others as you yourself would want to be treated. Choose to love people, even those that appear to be unlovable. Choose to love them anyway. Those are the ones that probably need it more. Choose your words carefully. Listen. Be slow to speak. Use patience and self-control. Be slow to anger. Folks, in order to do these things, we must acquire more wisdom. How do we do that? Well, the most obvious source of godly wisdom comes from the Bible. You cannot honestly think of even one question or life circumstance about which you cannot find the answer to your question in the Bible. God's Word is not silent. His principles are for right character, conduct, and conversation, and they apply to every situation and decision that we human beings are confronted with on a daily basis. We are all able to recall times in our life when we didn't respond wisely. Those incidents can most likely be traced back to one of two possibilities. Either we didn't know a certain biblical principle, or we knew the principle but decided to ignore it. To ensure that we are familiar with God's truths, we need to really dig into His Word, spend time in His fellowship, spending time in prayer. Let me throw out a few examples. Suppose you walk into the office at work and a coworker starts to verbally assault you for something that you didn't even do. They undeservingly blame you for a costly mistake. Your flesh and the world would have you respond in kind, with anger, maybe even some revenge. But Luke 6:27 through 29 offers you a different approach. It's not necessarily a natural approach for us humans, but it's a better approach. And perhaps it might go something like this. Is there anything else today that I can help you with? Thank you for telling me how you feel. And speak that gently. And if that will be all, I have some work to do now. And simply turn your back on the matter and go about your business. I'm sure that will shock your coworker because they wouldn't be expecting that kind of a response from you. But that is the godly response. Speak gently. Turn away. Be the better person. Pray for them. Pray for you. And go back to work. Knowledge comes from learning biblical principles. Wisdom has to do with applying them. The Lord cautions us to keep His word in our heart and in our heads so that we will listen to His instruction. Wisdom is acquired as we pursue the truth, pursue living a godly life, absorbing the Scripture, doing what it says, and observing the results. Sometimes the consequences don't look very favorable, but we must understand that it is for our own good, not for the other person. You don't have to take special classes to acquire wisdom. All God wants is for us to have obedient hearts and a willing spirit. I found a quote from an unknown author, and here's what it says. The saddest summary of life contains three descriptions: could have, might have, and should have. I want to list off a few more suggestions for living with fewer regrets. Number one, let's realize that we all fall short of the glory of God. We all fail. We all sin. Nobody is perfect. We are human. We make mistakes. Just make sure that you learn from them. Seek repentance, forgive yourself, and move on. Two, our bodies are God's temple. We must filter out the conversations and the contaminants from our body, soul, and spirit that do not serve us. Get rid of anything that does not serve God. Make your health and wellness a priority. If you really take care of yourself properly, then you will be ready to take care of others. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't possibly take care of others. You have to be good to yourself first. You have to love yourself first. Change your social habits. Be careful of who you associate with. Unbelievers and believers think differently, and you don't want to stumble or be the cause of someone else stumbling. Befriend positive and like-minded, similar, goal-oriented people to hang out with. Have you heard the saying, we become what we associate with, or the negativity we allow in our lives? Folks, it's true. It's really true. Think about that for a moment. About some of your friends, maybe your spouse, maybe some other family member. Is it not true that if you spend long amounts of time with someone, that you start to behave and think like them? It's true. Human nature mimics what it associates with. Your body follows what is in the mind. Number four, find humor in life. Don't always take life so seriously. Relax more. Learn to be more adventurous, but in a good, clean, wholesome, godly way. Embrace your creativity and the talents that God gave you. Share this with other people. Don't keep it to yourself. Find joy and happiness in all of God's blessings, great and small. Be happy with what you have and do not try to covet what your neighbor has. 5. Do not judge people. You cannot help with the plank in someone else's eye as long as you are not willing to acknowledge the log that is in your own eye. Everyone has a history, but it is not our place to pass judgment. That's God's job to take care of when the time is right. Our job is to love everyone, even the ones who seem the least lovable. 6. Pray for others. Pray favor and blessing and protection and guidance, wisdom, provision, patience, and forgiveness. Pray for your enemies, too. I know that doesn't come natural to most folks, but we are called to do that as well. Not just our friends, not just our buddies, our church family. We're called to pray for our enemies too. 7, rejoice even during the tough times. They are learning experiences and they are character builders. Rejoice. It's a faith test. Don't give up. Keep the faith. Keep the hope. 8, don't try to change someone. It doesn't work. Pray for God to work in their lives instead. Only God can change someone else. We can't. We don't have any control over people. 9, use your energy wisely. Stop complaining, worrying, or being impatient. It's a waste of time and energy, folks. And life is too short. 10, be bold. Be courageous. Stand up for the truth, God's word. Stand firm and strong in your belief. It may not always be the popular thing, but it's the right thing. 11, turn your discontent to joy and thanksgiving. 12, don't try to solve your problems in your own power and in your own time. That never works. Give it to God and let Him handle it. I want to share with you this verse from the Bible about regrets. It's from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. God tells us that if we tell Him about what we have done, sometimes we won't even know what we've done necessarily. But we must tell God right away and ask that He forgive us, and He will cleanse us from that. And it won't be brought up again. We move forward. In Joel 2:25, God speaks to us by saying, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, the cutter, my great army, which I sent among you. In Romans 8:28, He says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, God says, for everything there is a season, a reason, and a time for every matter under heaven. In 1 Peter 5:8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. 1 Peter 5:10 and 11, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To Him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. In Luke 13:24-28, and this is a very powerful verse. It really makes you stop and think. It says, strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to me. And He will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, remember? And you taught in our streets. And He will say, I tell you, I do not even know you. Depart from me, all you evil doers. Wow. Don't be that person that comes up to the door, knocks on it, and have the Lord say to you, I don't know you. Depart from me. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you will see yourself being thrown out. Wow. What do you think about that? God has spoken very clearly here. I could go on and on with more verses about regret. The Bible is filled with instruction on this matter. But just think about that. Think about the implications. Maybe we regret something that we did, or perhaps regret not doing something when we had the opportunity. Sometimes the memory of these regrets can haunt us for a very long time. Regret is our enemy. It does not come from God, but instead comes from Satan. Satan's job is to steal our peace and joy, and having regrets is one of the biggest ways of doing that. How many of my listening audience out there can relate to feeling like your regrets are haunting you, like a ghost from your past? They just keep lingering in the back of your mind. Some days you don't even think about them at all. Days and weeks may pass by, but then one day, when you least expect it, something will trigger a memory, and you will feel the full brunt of your regret. It used to be that I would fall asleep, and in the middle of the night, not every night, but perhaps once a month, I would awaken with the full weight of some of my regrets on my shoulders. And this was many, 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 many years ago, when I was much younger. Sometimes I'd even be driving down the road, just not even really thinking about much of anything. And a song would come on the radio, and it would hit me so hard. It would take my breath away, quite literally. And I'd have this stabbing pain in my chest over something I'd done in my past. Something I'd done to someone. Folks, I tell you, I do not live with regrets anymore. Thank God. I have been redeemed. Jesus paid the price for my sins on the cross. There is nothing I can do about the past, but I know all of my sins have been forgiven. Do you? It was so painful in those earlier years, it would just bring me to tears. I would feel such sorrow for some of the things I had done, mostly how I had hurt a few specific people in my past. I would find it even hard to go back to sleep some nights. Sometimes, like I said, I'd be driving down the road, and Satan would just drop it in my lap like a ton of bricks. Immediately, it would rob my joy. As I have gotten older and have drawn closer to God, and now have an intimate relationship with God, I've laid down all those regrets at His feet. It was one of the best decisions that I ever made. I called the people that I had wronged, and I admitted after some 20 years at that time that I was wrong and I was so sorry. I owned my mistakes and I asked their forgiveness for my selfishness and the heartbreak that I had cost them. Again, it was one of the most hardest things I've ever done in my life. But it was right. It was one of the toughest things, calling those individuals after all of that time, dredging up all those wounds and making amends. But it was the beginning of the healing process for both myself and those that were involved. Our relationships are better for it today. Folks, it takes a lot of courage to go back in your past and tell people that you made a mistake, that you acknowledge the wrong, and that you want to ask their forgiveness. But I want to add that I don't ever regret having done that. I freed myself from that bondage of regret that had held me in its grip for so long. I am no longer under the influence of those regrets in my life. They don't control me anymore. I am not who I used to be, and now, some 28 years later. I don't live in my past. I am a child of God. I ask for God's forgiveness when I sin. I repent, and it's a done deal, folks. I move on. I do not think about it anymore. God said that He casts our sins from as far from the east to the west. So that is the end of the story. When you ask for His forgiveness, He forgives you, and He casts it into the sea from as far from the east to the west. Move on, folks. Many of you need to follow my example. I guarantee it will be a huge weight coming off of your shoulders the day you turn it all over to God, and you leave that past in the past, and you go to those people, and you tell them, "I am sorry. I was wrong. Can you forgive me?" We are all a glorious work in progress. God isn't done with any of us. In Romans 8:1, God tells us, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not accordingly to the flesh, but accordingly to the Spirit." Going right along with this verse, I want to add, from the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary, "Believers may be chastened of the Lord, but will not be condemned with the world. Be their union with Christ through faith, they are thus secured." What is the principle of their walk? The flesh or the spirit? The old or the new? Corruption or grace? For which of these do we make provision? By which are we governed? Which one do we feed into? The one you feed into is the one you are a slave to. The unrenewed spirit is unable to keep any commandment fully. And the law, besides outward duties, require inward obedience. God showed hatred of sin by the suffering of His Son in the flesh, that the believers might be pardoned and justified. Thus satisfaction was made to divine justice, and the way of salvation opened for the sinner. By the Spirit of the law of love is written upon our heart, and through the righteousness of the law is not fulfilled by us, yet blessed by God. It is fulfilled in us. There is that, it's all, sorry folks, I got distracted. The favor of God, the welfare of the soul, the concerns of eternity are the things of the Spirit. Which those that are after the Spirit do we pay attention to? Which way do our thoughts move with the most pleasure? Which way do our plans go? Are we the most wise for the world or for our soul? Those that live in wicked pleasure are dead to God. A sanctified soul is a living soul, and that life is peace. The carnal mind is not only an enemy to God, but a feeling of bitter hatred in itself. The carnal man may, by the power of divine grace, be made subject to the law of God, but the carnal mind never can. That must be broken and driven out. We may know our real state and character by inquiring whether we have the Spirit of God or not. In Romans 8:9, the Bible says, "Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Having the Spirit of Christ means having a turn of mind in some degree. Link the mind that was in Christ Jesus and is to be shown by a life and conversation suitable to Jesus and His example. Now let's back up for a moment. Let's define the enemy. We all know what the word regret means, but I looked up the definition anyway. And according to the Webster's Dictionary, regret is defined as sorrow aroused by circumstances beyond our control or power to repair. Yet I noted that repent is a synonym for regret. I guess that would make sense, right? It's the same thing to feel regretful and repentance over something we've said or done. But from the Christian point of view, there's a contradiction between the definition of regret and a synonym for repent. The definition of regret states that it is beyond our control, beyond our power to repair. But yet the Bible repeatedly tells us that repentance is the power to repair. In 2 Corinthians 7:10, Apostle Paul wrote, "The sorrow that is according to the will of God produces repentance without regret, leading salvation. The sorrow of the world produces spiritual, emotional, and even physical death." In 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness." We will get to the place where our regrets no longer have the power or the control over our emotions. We will begin to put them into perspective by understanding how God is making good results from our failures. However, I believe that many of us won't release these feelings of regret because we wrongly believe that to feel regret is to be repentant. Yet the Bible tells us that the believer's life is a spiritual and emotional abundant life, a life of joy, peace, and hope. These uplifting things that sustain us through even the most difficult trials cannot possibly coexist with feelings of guilt, regret, and despair. The Bible tells us that our old nature is at war with the new nature. In Galatians 5:17 it says, "The flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." The Bible tells us that Satan is the accuser. In Revelations 12:10 it says that he attempts to negatively influence our mind, will, and emotions through people and other ways. Regardless of what the source is, it's clear that the last thing that the negative source, Satan, wants is for regretful thoughts to provoke thanksgiving to God. So the most powerful weapon against any negative source of any kind is God. We need to form habits of thanking God for forgiving us every time a regret comes to mind. Once you form these new habits, the power these regrets have, that causes all the sadness and the feelings of shame, condemnation, they will begin to diminish, and eventually there will come a day that you won't even think about them anymore. You will start to see your past in a whole new perspective, God's perspective. Fellow brothers and sisters, if we are allowing our regrets to affect joy, peace, and hope, His grace is proving to be in vain for us. We are essentially telling Jesus that His suffering and death on the cross wasn't enough to take away our former sins and mistakes. It's a new day. It is time to let those regrets go. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, the new things have come." In Philippians 3:13-14, the Bible tells us, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." C.S. Lawrence is quoted as saying, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are right now and change the ending." The last and final thing I want to leave you with today is, after everything else I've mentioned in today's message, you've repented to God, God has forgiven you, but how do you forgive yourself? Forgiving yourself is essential, folks. We humans have a tendency to hold ourselves more accountable than we do others. Perhaps you can more easily justify forgiving someone else than you can yourself. Perhaps you believe that forgiving yourself isn't even an option because you think you must hold on to in a constant state of remembrance lest you forget. Perhaps you believe that there is a price, some form of lifelong penance that you must pay. Let us look at this example in Jeremiah 31:34. When God forgives us, it states that He remembers our sins no more. He remembers our sins no more. This does not mean our Heavenly Father forgets them, but that He chooses to forgive them and throw them into the sea. He chooses not to bring up our sin in a negative way ever again. And therefore, we should not either. Peter said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows us no partiality, applying no partiality to the issues of forgiveness. God does not choose to forgive one person and not another. He forgives everyone who believes in Jesus Christ. Applying His no partiality standard to ourselves is just as important to forgive ourselves as it is to forgive others. That's how we heal. Forgiving yourself isn't about forgetting, folks. It's about not bringing the offense up to yourself ever again. Forgiving yourself is simply letting go of what you're holding on to, what you're holding against yourself, that you can move on with God. If God has moved on, shouldn't we do the same? In Proverbs 16:25, the Bible says, "There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death." Fellow brothers and sisters, the energy it takes to harbor anger, hatred, bitterness, and resentment toward yourself is absolutely exhausting. It's just absolutely exhausting, and it's a waste of time. Every bit of energy we give to negative activities and dwelling on regrets, each day we do that, each bit of energy, just robs us of the energy we need to become the person God wants us to be. How do I know this? Because I have lived it. But I have moved on, folks. I am forgiven. I am a child of God. That's my testimony. Life is full of choices, and every choice we make will either take us in a positive, life-giving direction, or it will rob us of the opportunity to be a life-giving person. Forgiving ourselves doesn't let us off the hook. It doesn't justify what we've done, and it's not a sign of weakness. Forgiveness takes courage and strength, and it gives us the opportunity to become an overcomer rather than remaining a victim of our own scorn. Here is something to think about. If you don't forgive yourself of past sins, did you know that that is a form of pride? How many of you knew that? Let that settle into your mind for a moment. Whenever we enact a different set of rules, a higher standard of ourselves over others, it's a form of pride. When we can find it without ourselves to forgive others, but not forgive ourselves, we are saying that we are less capable of making a poor decision than others, and therefore somehow more intuitively wiser, more insightful, more careful than others. But folks, let's be honest. To think that way is pretty gutsy and bold and arrogant of us. Not one of us is any higher in standard than the next. That kind of behavior is not of God. In Proverbs 16:18, the Bible said, "Pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall." Unforgiveness of oneself will bring self-destruction, but God's way of Christian forgiveness will bring peace to our life, our mind, and our soul. The reality of this matter is this. You cannot change what has happened in the past. You cannot restore the lives back to the way they were. However, you can make a difference in the lives of others from this point forward. You can give back some of what you have taken away by finding a different place to invest your time and your compassion. Forgive yourself and let the healing begin. Forgiving yourself will change the direction of your life, and your regrets will melt away. You will be free of the bondage of regret. And folks, I can't even tell you what a wonderful feeling that is. I would like to say another prayer right now over the message that we have just received today. If any of you in the listening audience are living under the bondage of regret, please say this prayer with me right now. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I understand that there is nothing to gain by holding myself in unforgiveness, and there is everything to gain by releasing myself from unforgiveness and beginning the process of healing. I want to move forward. I want to make a positive difference in my future. I confess the ungodly accountability, the self-abasement, and the vows I made to never forgive myself. Because Jesus died for my sins, I choose to forgive myself now, to no longer punish myself and be angry with myself. I forgive myself for letting this hurt control me and for hurting others out of my hurt. I repent of this behavior and my attitude. I ask for your forgiveness and your healing. God, help me to never again retain unforgiveness of myself or others. Thank you for loving me and for your grace to move forward with you. In your Son Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Folks, thank you everyone out there for praying along with me. I hope for those who are struggling with regret today, I pray that today would be the day that you would relent, let go, move on, find your peace and your joy once again. I pray that all of your hearts were softened today and that each and every one of you heard God's message to you. Speak in your heart today. I pray that you will take hold of that and that you will get rid of the bondage of regret. I promise you, you will never regret moving forward. Our God is mighty to save, folks, and He loves each and every one of us, and He never gives up on us, no matter how old we are, no matter how many mistakes we've made, no matter how bad we think we are. God never gives up on us, and by golly, you shouldn't give up on you either. Seriously, folks, He casts our sins from as far from the east as to the west. How far is that? Think about that. As far as you can see from the east to the west on the horizon, it just goes on and on and on forever and ever and ever. That's how far He casts our sins. Folks, I want to tell you, God bless each and every one of you out there today. I hope you've enjoyed this message. I hope it has spoke to your heart. I hope today is a new beginning for each and every one of you. Until we meet again next week, same time, same place, I love each and every one of you, and I'll be praying for you.
Drowning in your sea of forgetfulness, the chains of yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me, and it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as east is from the west, and I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west. 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been from rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Endless reminding of my sin. And time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in.